Over the last few weeks, we have been in a sermon series called Not Just for Kids, where we revisit stories that were told to us as children, but so often forgotten as adults. We've looked at stories like Daniel and the Lion's Den and Samson and Delilah. This morning, we will be reacquainted with Jonah, the reluctant prophet, who seems to get a bad rap for ignoring and refusing God's call. I'm so grateful for the living Word of God that captivates us at every stage of our lives. Before we dive into the scripture together, will you join me in a word of prayer? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this morning. Spirit of the living God, open our ears to hear your word in a new way. O Spirit of the living God, open our hearts to receive the peace and comfort your word brings. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. When I was about 7, I remember attending vacation Bible school at a Presbyterian church just down the road from my house with a friend from school. Now, I couldn't tell you much about the overall theme of the week or the names of my teachers or the other students in my class, but I do remember the feeling of fear as I walk into the area that we were going to learn about the Bible story, and I see this large papier-mâché whale. And as the story begins, they usher us into this whale and ask us to sit down together, really cramped together. And if anyone knows me, and if you guys know me well, you know I am not fond of cramped and tight spaces. But yet, this is where I found myself to learn about the story of Jonah. And as the woman told the story by flashlight in the belly of the whale, they had a CD player outside of the structure playing loud, crashing wave sounds and just scary sounds that went along with the story. And people would probably think it was cool, but for someone like me, it was not. My fear began to grow and grow and grow, and I thought that the story would never end and that I would never be able to escape the belly of the whale, the prison that they have put me in. Eventually, though, we were able to leave, but only after the storyteller shook her finger at us and asked us if we were going to obey God. As you can tell, I have never forgotten that experience. And that same fear remains with me every time I read the story of Jonah. And that's exactly what I had to do in preparation for this sermon. I read it over and over and over again. And each time, I was continuously struck by how quickly Jonah decides to disobey God's command to go to Nineveh. It was instantaneous. One moment, God is giving Jonah this exciting and very important mission of going to Nineveh and preaching against the wickedness there. And then, bam! In the very next moment, Jonah makes a break for it. He runs and finds a ship to Tarshish. Without second thought, Jonah tried to get as far away from Nineveh and God as humanly possible. Jonah seems to be in good company. History is riddled with stories of people who were reluctant to fulfill the call God had placed on their lives. In 1955, after Rosa Parks was put on trial for refusing to give up her bus seat, a group of people formed the Montgomery Improvement Association to launch a bus boycott. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was unanimously voted to lead this charge, this new movement. But after just finishing his thesis, his only desires were to be a college president and a pastor, not a community activist. The night of his election, Dr. King confessed that he was afraid to heed this call. He said he was, quote, possessed by fear. Even famous revolutionaries like George Washington were reluctant to take up the cause of American independence. It's true. In fact, our very first president actually wrote this about the conflict with the British. I have used every endeavor in my power to avoid it. How easily we let fear distract us from living the full lives that we could be living. Even our heroes, even the people we revere, have been haunted by fear. Could this be the reason Jonah so quickly decides to disobey God and run? Well, it's certainly understandable. For most of Jonah's life, he has lived in fear of Nineveh. It was the capital city of Assyria, the biggest and scariest enemy of the Israelites at the time. Jonah probably grew up listening to scary stories of the brutality so prevalent in Nineveh. The theft, the tribal violence, the stories of merchants who had gone to trade there and never made it home. Nineveh was the most dangerous place for an Israelite to go. And yet God said, go. Go there. They say fear is crippling. It's an automatic, involuntary response to people, places, things, or events that our brain perceives as dangerous and threatening. It's the innate sense that tells us to cower and run for safety. Nineveh was that threat to Jonah. And just when I think that this story is just for him and not for me, then I remember how fearful I am of the threats in my own life. When my husband gets a call, and that call could very well mean a deployment. When my relative has a disability, and I'm worried that the world just won't understand. Or when I'm a summer intern and I'm left alone to run the church for a whole week. Our Ninevehs may be different, but our bodily response is still similar. Our brains distort the truth, our vision narrows, our judgment clouds. Everything within us is screaming, run! Run for your life! As Jonah boards the ship, he finds a hiding spot amid the cargo and drifts into a deep, deep sleep, probably hoping that when he wakes, all his problems will be over. Instead, though, a violent, hurricane-like storm brews on the open waters, and all the while, Jonah remains in a deep, depressive slumber, unable to face the world that was literally raging around him. And when the captain wakes Jonah, I can imagine all of the thoughts that plagued Jonah's mind. What have I done? It's all my fault. I put these sailors in danger. They will be safer without me. Repeatedly, the waves crashed on the decks and the sailors yelled back and forth, and the scene becomes so chaotic, so dire, so hopeless. There is nowhere left to run, nowhere left to escape. There is nothing left for Jonah to live for. And finally, he says, just throw me into the sea. Then the waves will calm and you will be safe. Just throw me in the sea. He is utterly defeated. Maybe you know what that feels like. Plenty of us have hit rock bottom at one point in our lives. So often, when things go from bad to worse, we become our own worst enemies. And we blame God and lose sight of God's presence and provision in the depths of our defeated souls. We are utterly hopeless. A few months ago, I met a young woman whose story sounds a lot like Jonah's. This woman shared that she had been battling an illness ever since she was a teenager. She suffered from depression and other mental illness. And about 4 years ago, her constant battle with mental health made her life spiral out of control. She couldn't get up and go to classes, so her perfect GPA of a 4.0 dropped to a 1.54. She was placed on academic probation, and when she thought life couldn't get worse, she thought that she might be pregnant. And when she told her boyfriend about the situation, he ended their relationship. He was devastated, and she was devastated. And she felt all alone, with no hope left to lean on. And as she was driving one night, she felt like she was suffocating, like she was trapped, and the weight of her life was caving in on her. And the only way that she could ease her pain, she thought, was to take her own life. And after texting a few of her friends about her plans, she attempted suicide. And when she woke up in the hospital bed, she realized that it was only by some miracle that she was still alive. And the only one who could save her now, the only one, was God. So she didn't just pray to God. No, she didn't pray. She yelled at God. She screamed at God. She said, I can't do this alone anymore. You cannot let me live this way. Come and help me. The doctors told her that she likely wasn't pregnant. But if she was, that the pregnancy wouldn't be viable anymore because of all of the trauma her body had gone through. But somehow, a few weeks later, on Valentine's Day, no less, another pregnancy test came back positive. That's it, she thought. This is how God is going to help me. She had no choice but to change now. In order to bring a baby into this world, she knew that she had to work hard at getting stable and getting her life back on track. Today, my friend bears no resemblance to this woman and the woman in her testimony. She is a strong and wise and courageous woman who loves God and loves her child with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of her being. When Jonah hit his lowest moment, when he drifted to the bottom of the sea, God sent a large fish to swallow him up and save him from drowning. At the very last moment, when none of God's attention-grabbing signs seemed to work and death seemed to win, God showed up. Where is your place of fear today? What are you running from? whatever it may be, don't give up. Take heart, knowing that God shows up. When you least expect it, God shows up. In the most improbable ways, God shows up. God shows up and lifts us from the depths of our suffering. Jonah's story reminds us that God longs to face our fears with us. We don't have to do it all alone. God will give us the strength to put one step in front of the other and conquer that fear one day at a time. And one day, we will look back on our lowest times and join in Jonah's prayer. I called to the Lord out of my distress, and God answered me. In the darkest of days, I cried to you, O Lord my God, and you heard my voice. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in another word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing us when we call out to you. Thank you for surrounding us when we are drowning in the depths of our deepest seas. Continue to show us signs of your love, even when we cannot see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.